This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Howdy, third hour here on the show. What's going on? Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, usually CBS Sports Network. Not today. We go with just radio. This is good by us. All good. Our great affiliates always with you. All 150-plus affiliates around the country that carry proudly the Tiki and Tierney show here on CBS Sports Radio, coming to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget, your family. Rocket can. Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. Instagram, little IG, same deal. YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. We'll get back to some hoops here in a moment. Season begins tonight. We crushed the Sixers, Ben Simmons situation in the first hour. We're going to circle back to that. Also, LeBron weighed into the load management waters and a very interesting takeaway. But I've got a little, it's not quite a show grievance. That would be a little bit too strong.
Okay.
But it is a bit of a show gripe.
Okay.
I'm differentiating between a true grievance and something that I perceive to be a little passing gripe that I'm going to bring to the air.
Go ahead.
And let our great audience decide. So, now, if you recall, yesterday at the end of the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're, you know, throwing around picks. I think you said you liked the Bills to win the game.
Yep.
All right. I said I liked the Titans, and I went so far as to say that I liked the Tennessee Titans on the money line, which was a bit of a stretch.
Yes.
They were six and a half point dogs in some spots, so it's not like they were, you know, a point and a half of a dog. I mean, it's a relatively decent leap of faith. Now, I'm not looking for any props on the air. I'll reference it, which I did in the first hour. You told me, when I came in, good pick, whatever. But I would like to take our audience behind the curtain a little bit, right? So, last night, all right, at midnight, I write Titans on our chain, Titans, with our, little emoji with the shades, letting everybody know Sharp Tierney, you know, hammered that. And I put some of my money behind it, right? Nothing. All right, maybe you guys fell asleep. No big deal. No big deal. Not everybody watches the game to the end. Maybe you fell asleep. You get up, you watch the end of it. I get it. We all have families. I don't need a direct response at midnight. I'm not that petty. All right.
I was not.
We wake up 7:47 a.m. Obviously, young kids getting ready for school like you, so everybody's up in the house. I get a text from Tiki on the group chain for myself, Stu Getz, and Samther. And he writes, Derrick Henry's my favorite player by far. And, of course, Samther, who was always in a rush to kiss Tiki's behind, within about 13 seconds, there's a picture that he must have rummaged through his phone to find, a picture of me trying to tackle Derrick Henry and his arm around me and his arm around you when he came to visit us when he won the Heisman.
Yep.
And then Samther writes, you mean this guy? Yes, that would be Derrick Henry. And then he proceeds to put another picture of us. This time I have more of a normal pose, and he's got his arm around both you and I's in the middle. He's got his Alabama gear. And then Tiki, you know, he's the best back in the league, not a pass catcher. He writes some football stuff. And, you know, Tiki's really, which I love that you love, you know, him. I love him too. Then he's talking about the game last night, and Mitch Morse may have stepped on Josh Allen's foot, blah, blah, blah. Not even a reference of the Titans money line call. I don't need a tweet like, oh, Tierney bagged him. No. But amongst friends, amongst coworkers, not even like, yo, BT, good call last night with that Titans money line. Now, I want some tweets here. Do not tell me that I'm petty for this. I mean, the expectation is that we're in this together.
Yes.
All right? I thought that was
a
fairly brave pick that I heard nobody else serve up. Now, first of all, the ESPN crew that had the game, all four people picked the Bills to win.
Yes.
Because somebody sent me a snapshot. They're like, wow, you nailed it. People who aren't even associated with the show were sending me tweets. You guys couldn't even respond on the text chain. Now, let me go around the horn, all right?
Well, first of all, Stu never responds to anything.
Well, yeah, so, that's true. He's very, very,
unless,
very weak.
Unless
respondent.
We're talking Liverpool. Good win in the Champions League today, 3-2.
Mm-hmm. All right, don't derail it. I like soccer a little bit more than I used, but I don't like soccer right now. Stu Getz, defend yourself. I mean, you're the associate producer on the show. You're the director of our musical content library. I mean, you got a big role on the show. You didn't even reference what I thought was maybe the cold of the year so far.
Great pick, BT.
I mean, no, I don't need it now. Where is the tweet? Where is the text? Where was it?
He doesn't text.
It was not there. The text was okay. Not there.
Santa,
have you texted all, Stu?
Not in this recent.
I think he liked the image that I sent of the, because I've got about 40 college football games that I've
done. Yeah, I did do that. Yes.
That I pared down before Sharp Tierney. You know, I've got 41, I think, that I'll eventually pare down to 10. By Sharp Tierney. By the way, 7-3 a week ago by mm-hmm. Sharp Tierney. So now he's getting brave.
Don't start
he's
bragging.
Doing money line
otherwise,
picks
you're going to go 3-7.
No, I'm not bragging. These are. I'm just telling you what I did. I tell you what I do poorly. Santer, what's your excuse? Because as soon as Tiki writes, oh, I love Derrick Henry. Oh, let me go scroll through my phone and find pictures because Tiki said he likes Derrick Henry. That is so weak.
There's multiple reasons, but I'll give you a couple.
Let me hear them.
One, I don't care about picks.
Sleeping, you didn't watch the game. What's the second one?
No, I actually watched the whole game. Well, I watched maybe like the last 2.5 quarters. I didn't watch the very,
I got
very
you.
Beginning.
Okay.
But I watched the whole game. Yeah. I don't really care that much about picks.
Okay.
Two.
It's a big part of what we do, by the way. But anyway. And it's also the only game of the night.
Yeah, no, yeah. Listen.
Go ahead.
I know you take pride in your picks.
I damn right I do. Sure,
I don't gamble. I've never gambled. I don't care about picks.
I don't care about gambling.
Money lines.
Not about gambling.
Yeah, but
Not about gambling. It's about nice pick by
Yeah,
let's
I mean, listen,
nice
listen.
Job by BT repping on the air. God, boy.
If you pick the
nothing.
Titans to win the
Crickets.
Super Bowl, if you
pick
the
silence.
Titans to win the Super Bowl before the season and they won the Super Bowl, props. A random Week 6 Monday night game, I'm not that moved by it. Secondly, I actually thought the Titans were going to win also.
You didn't say it on the air. You didn't put a dollar behind that, so it means nothing. That's a completely useless assertion.
This is the Tiki and Tierney show. It's not the Big Mike show. I don't hop on the air and give you my picks.
You weigh
and
in
no
a lot.
No one cares about my picks anyway.
We let you weigh in. You weigh in. Don't say that. You give opinions.
Secondly, the text came from Brandon Tierney.
Okay.
Brandon Tierney doesn't make picks.
Uh-huh.
Sharp Tierney makes picks. Had I gotten a text from a Mr. Sharp Tierney, maybe I would have cared a little bit more. Third, let's also be honest.
He's the greatest BSer of all time.
I also do not text every time you get a loss or every time you have a bad beat, right? Mm. So, like, 2 weeks ago, you went 3-7.
Did I say anything
3 weeks ago when you were 3-7?
No, but you know what you said? Oh, I retweet. I keep saying tweet. He texted. I really thought you were going to lose that Patriots game. Like, even though I won with the Cowboys, that's acknowledging that I lost that game.
It was more of an acknowledgement. That game was crazy. I'm watching that game, and I'm thinking in my head, there is no way that the Cowboys are going to cover -3 because at that point, they were down by, two,
mm-hmm.
right? So, like, the interception return, then they missed the two-point conversion, then the 75-yard touchdown,
yeah.
then the Patriots needed the two-point conversion to make it 3, then the Cowboys needed
I'm not listening at all right
at
now.
At no
I,
point
I
did I think there was any chance you guys were going to cover that, so I thought that was incredible.
Oh, wow, amazing.
But that wasn't a knock on you in any way. It was just a comment on the craziness of that game.
Okay, Teague, what is your defense here? Of all the people that I expect—
I acknowledged you, man. I said, hey, Derrick Henry.
A running back talking about a running back he loves. Nothing
yes.
to do with the money line.
I mean,
pick.
I could have said, well, Josh Allen was amazing in the loss. I talked about
the
guy.
Or you could have said, great pick. I love Derrick Henry, by the way.
I mean, you do the picks.
You guys suck sometimes. You guys piss me off.
Now, listen, if you want to talk about the game and the fourth down call, I'd be all for
it. Get back in your hole. Well, I'm done with Samter. So is Sharp Tierney. So when he texts you later on, don't respond. Too late. Don't respond to me. Don't respond to him. That's it. All right.
Brentford lost this weekend, by the way.
The Bees. What are the Bees doing today? Brentford's playing today.
No, they're not playing today.
I thought they were playing today.
No, they play Saturday.
So why did I see a tweet from the Brentford Bees account that, like, early this morning that said, let's go, we're ready, or so? I mean, I guess it's in anticipation of
Saturday.
Six games from now?
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
That's a little aggressive.
Yeah,
a little
probably.
Ambitious.
Yeah, they're not
it's
in the
Tuesday,
Champions League. They just got promoted.
All right, they got promoted 6 months ago.
There's no fixtures in the week. It's all.
No, it was their minor league club. It was their.
They have a minor league team.
Yeah, yeah. They all have like a youth team that they kind of.
Oh,
you know,
the under 20.
Yeah,
really.
Threes. Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay. As we've taken you very deep into the weeds of content that you probably don't give a rat's behind about, you will care about watching a game with LeBron and the Lakers and wondering, well, how many minutes is LeBron going to play?
All of them.
Well, not what his coach said.
Day to day. You know, we will. We'll be intelligent. You know, he's someone that if he feels well, wants to be in there. Probably don't want to have him play 82 games. But, you know, we're not going to pre-script, you know, X amount of nights off. You know, we're going to take it as it comes, you know, throughout the year.
How about minutes?
Minutes, you know, we still want to be around a 34 range as a script, a 34 to 36. And then, you know, obviously, you know, hope for situations where the group out on the floor is playing well, where you can, you know, leave him over there a little longer. It actually, you know, in some ways, if he stays over there too long and gets cold, it's worse for him than to get back in there.
All right, so that was the coach. And then LeBron, of course, was asked about, you know, would you load and what would happen if you were asked to load, Matt. Here's LeBron's response.
No. I don't play the game thinking about injuries, and also feel worse when I play low minutes.
That last part's interesting.
Yeah, it actually is the most interesting thing about load management that you've heard anybody talk about. Because why do people load manage? Oh, I got to protect myself. Oh, I don't want to put too much wear and tear on my body. Oh, I got this nagging calf injury. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about it. LeBron James prepares his body. It's really commendable. He's like, I'm not thinking about being injured. Mm-hmm. If I get injured, I'm injured, but I'm not thinking about being injured. So many other people, players, it seems like in this day and age, when it comes to load management, are like, well, I don't want to get injured. Right? It's almost like you're creating an injury before you even actually have an injury. Mm-hmm. It's not just dissimilar. Like golf, mm-hmm. right? Sitting up there, how far is it to that water out there? It's like 270. Oh, you can't get there. All right, cool. You lay up on it, and then you're on the wrong side of it. And you're like, man, it's only 20 yards in front of me. I don't even got to worry about that water. It's like, but damn, the water's right there.
It's right there, right? And it's still wet.
And so you're worried about it. So what do? You hit it in the water.
That happens all the time.
All the
That's
time.
That's why they always say, like, they always say, especially in golf, don't say. They say if you're a hack like they always say, don't say something like, don't be short on this putt.
Yes.
You want to affirm the positive.
That's
you
right.
want to say like,
That's right. put it in the back of the hole.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, put it in or give it a good roll. Not like, or, oh, God, don't rinse it. No, yeah. Just blast it over the water.
That's right. That's right. And so it's interesting because the guys who always are load managing, at least top of mind, like
yep.
Kawhi, he's always hurt.
He is.
He's always thinking
Is that why he's load managing?
I don't know.
I think it is.
I mean, yes, I would assume so, but like, when you're thinking about being hurt,
mm-hmm.
aren't you also like looking to be hurt? You know what I mean? Like
probably it's not preparing as forcefully as you can for the long haul marathon, which is something LeBron's always done.
Yeah, it's
always.
It's almost like training your mind. Like you're mm-hmm. not as much as it is about physicality and the physical preparation for an NBA season. I think so much more of it, and this is what LeBron does so well, is he trains his mind for an NFL season. Some guys don't even think about it. I think like Russell Westbrook, he's not even thinking about it. Like he doesn't even care whether his mind is trained or his body is trained. He's going 100% all out, mm-hmm. right? That's just who he is. But I think there's a, I don't know, there's a psychological side to this load management thing that LeBron just doesn't even want to hear. And mm-hmm. that's a good thing for him. And it's why he's been so, you know, available and durable so much of his career.
And it's a great thing for us because we're the ones who benefit.
That's right, because we get to see him every
day. Yeah, I mean, listen, I've been on the record. I mean, LeBron, he's a great player. I've got a number three behind Jordan and Kareem.
Mm-hmm.
The self-glorification always bothers me. He's just, you know, shirt off, look at me on Instagram. But in terms of being a competitor, you know, being a diligent pro, being a great teammate, he's top-notch. And he's a great player, obviously. He's one of the all-time best. But I think that load management is largely not overrated, but overstated.
Mm.
And I'll give you an example. Like, as I rip through the names of the best players in the NBA, you tell me if these players really, truly load manage. You ready?
Go ahead.
James Harden.
No.
Okay.
Not even thinking about it.
Okay. Kevin Durant before the Achilles.
No.
Okay. LeBron.
Never.
Now, AD does. There's a difference with him,
yes, but
he's always
AD
hurt.
AD is always hurt.
I'm with you.
He's probably thinking, I got to protect myself from being injured. I had this, what was it, foot injury when he first came out? What was AD's?
Anthony Davis?
Yeah.
He had a wrist. He had a foot.
Yeah.
He had a lot of injuries, myriad injuries.
I forget what it was right at the beginning, but I mean, yeah.
Yep. Giannis. Giannis is a bowler.
Steph Curry, never.
And I was just going to say Steph next. You never hear Steph throwing around that nonsense with load management. So, Damian Lillard, no chance.
Never. Ever.
You know, I think it's largely overstated. Doncic.
Yeah,
no.
Never.
The guys who load manage are the fragile guys. Somebody like Embiid coming off injury. You know, KP, who's not nearly as good as Embiid, but Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even Jokic. He's not the Joker. He's not a physical specimen, but he's not load managing.
Yeah.
He's playing heavy minutes every night.
Yeah, it's almost, you're not quite this. This might be the wrong analogy, but it's like the chicken or the egg. Right? Are you load managing because you're hurt, or are you hurt because you're load managing?
I think it's the former. I think you're load managing because you're hurt.
Well, so we had Sean. You were out, and I had Sean Powell on. I forgot when this was. This was the NBA. He's from NBA TV.
Yeah, I know Sean. Yeah.
This was probably right before the NBA Finals last year, and maybe not. It was probably right before the playoffs. But you were out for whatever reason, so we had him on, and I was chatting to him about load management because of the Kawhi Leonard thing. And he's like, you know, I have this unpopular opinion that I haven't really said, but, you know, he said, I think sometimes when these guys load manage, they're not preparing themselves for what happens when you get to the postseason, which is you can't take a day off,
mm-hmm.
right? You got, like, game, day off, game, maybe 2 days off. Like, you're playing consistently and constantly, and
That's
so you
right.
get to the postseason, and some of these load managed guys, they end up getting hurt because they're not used to it. Right. And so I think there's something to that. Like, you got to condition your body to be ready for the grind of the postseason. And that's what the regular season does. You know, and so some of these guys who are thinking about, I got to protect myself from injury, they're actually maybe contributing to the potential to get injured later on in the season. It's an odd dynamic.
I would agree with that.
Which
theory.
I hate that we talk about this all the time. And when is this, like a 6 year ago, maybe 7 years ago, it became a phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that it's part of the NBA.
Yep. Well, it happened with the Spurs, with Duncan, Ginobili, and those cats.
I remember that.
And I defended Pop because at that point, you know, my take, and, you know, then it really permeated the NBA. I think it's not gone away, but it's kind of withered away a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But when that first surfaced and the term, when I first heard the term, my take, and I remember doing a sportsman, and I'm like, hey, you know, you might not like it, but Greg Popovich gets paid by the Spurs to make sure the Spurs are in the best position to win a championship.
That's right.
And if, you know, reducing minutes or skipping a game is the best path to be ready to pursue that championship with the most health and vigor, then I'm fine with that. You know, I think that, you know, the NBA is, I'll give you an example to your question before, the chicken and egg theory,
yeah.
or the question, right? Zion Williamson. Now, he will be, when he comes back, he will be on a minutes restriction, and he will be load managed to an extent. Is he being load managed because he's hurt? Yes.
Yeah.
That's why different. I believe that that's always the origin. They don't just look at a healthy specimen and say, all right, got to load manage you. No, unless you're really, really old or have a propensity to get injured often.
Yeah.
Derrick Rose. Thibodeau's going to watch his minutes a little bit. I'm sure Kemba Walker coming off the knee injury. He's not going to throw him out there for 40 minutes. Guys with injuries, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. All right, coming up next here, Teek, let's get to some quarterback issues. Baker hurting. The news not very good. Lamar is rolling and Burrow shining. All things quarterback with our buddy Sean King. That's next. Teek and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, Stu Getz, that a boy, making amends. By the way, he says, for somebody who says he never texts, as soon as we went to commercial break, he was literally texting. I'm like, oh, I saw him. Like, you can text whoever you text. It's probably his girl. I listen, by the way, I'm not mad at you if that's the case. Got to do what you got to do. And we got to do what we got to do. We got to talk quarterbacks here. We got to talk with one of our buddies, Sean King, former NFL quarterback, won a championship with the Bucs. Great player with Tulane. Awesome season they had. Magical year. And he's the host of the Nightcap on the VSiN Network. And he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Sean, what's happening, bud? How you been?
Hey, man, it's great. I'm in Vegas. It's 64 degrees. No humidity, no bugs. Mm. Life could not be better.
I love it.
What are you doing in Vegas?
He's doing the network, right?
Yeah, so I moved here in late July. So whenever you guys come out, let me know. And we'll have to go hydrate just a tad.
Permanently relocated. I love that.
I'm in. Listen, Sean, I lived in Las Vegas. It was my second job. I moved there in 1999. I was there for about 2 years, right? And I lived in Henderson. And if I was, you know, I was broke. I was making like $30,000. I had nothing. I wish I could have gotten some Henderson real estate back then. Where are you guys? And I used to do my show out of the Mandalay Bay. Where is the VSiN Network? Where do you guys actually do the shows from?
So we have two studios. One's at the South Point Casino.
Yep.
The Nightcap, my show with Tim Murray, is filmed out of the Circa Hotel in downtown Las Vegas. So if you guys haven't been to the Circa, it just opened.
Yeah, I haven't.
End of last year, it is phenomenal.
Wow.
Gotta check that
out. We're coming, man.
Yeah, coming for a Raiders game and then come hang with you.
Absolutely.
Tell us about Baker Mayfield and why we should or should not be concerned about him. Because I mean, sometimes we look at him, and he's just amazing. And other times, it's like, he leaves some things to be desired. Now he's getting hurt, and his size becomes an issue, like the fragility of him. And then also, now this is the last part, because it's like a five-part question. What do you pay him, man? I mean, he's like in a weird spot as it pertains to quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in this league.
Well, you know, and I've said this on the show, and I thought Baker was making strides at trying to be more fundamentally sound. You know, you started to see it in the Charger game, him just being in rhythm, throwing the ball with a balanced platform, stepping into his throws, and all of a sudden, like magic, his ball location improved. And then came the Cardinals game, and he kind of resorted back to the pump fake, move left, right in the pocket, pirouette, roll to the left, right, throw off balance, and his accuracy went down again. You know, I just think Baker's not comfortable being Baker Mayfield. And it's a polar opposite of a Tua or of a Mac Jones. Like, those guys don't have elite physical attributes, but they're comfortable just trying to do the right thing all the time. And I think Baker gets out of what he actually is from a talent standpoint way too often. And Cleveland's going to – I tell you guys this, and I don't have any inside information, but I think at some point Odell Beckham Jr. is going to go inside to that organization and say me or him. Because Odell's numbers have suffered.
Yeah.
Not all Baker's fault, but if you look at I think it was the second drive, I think Cleveland was down 7-0, and they went for it on third and fourth down in the red zone. Odell Beckham Jr. is wide open on both plays. Baker didn't even look for him.
Yeah, but Sean,
to be frustrating.
Yep,
and
yep.
I know Odell dropped some balls later in the game, but the game was out of hand at that point.
Mm-hmm. Listen, he can go and say that and lay down that edict to management. He's going to lose. I mean, the Giants drafted Beckham. The Browns didn't, so you know that. As Tiki always says, it's different when you when you're no longer with your mama.
Yep, nobody loves you like your mama. Yep. You know that, Sean.
The team that drafted you, it's a little different connection. So he ain't winning that fight if he ever get. Now he might say, "Get me, trade me." And if that's the case with Landry coming back, maybe that's what they do.
I just don't think they can win without Odell.
Really?
I think they'll be a solid.
Well, they won last year without him.
Yeah, but again, everything had to fall in place for him. I mean, Pittsburgh went on an all-time terrible run at the end of it. You know, Baltimore had their issues. They dodged Buffalo. You know, I think it all kind of worked for them.
Yeah.
But you look at the AFC this year, you look at the path that they're going to have to navigate to get back to that level of success. I think you need elite talent in those playoff games. Like, you might be able to get through the regular season.
Yeah.
But as frustrating as Odell can be, he's still an elite talent at the wide receiver position.
All right, so we're talking to Sean King, talking quarterbacks, obviously branching into Beckham a little bit. The Browns have some concerns, and I know we'll bounce around a little bit more. Sean, former champion with the Bucs, Tulane star.
Yeah.
And he's out there in Vegas doing his thing as well on the VSiN Network. He's with us here on Tiki and Terry.
Oh, and Joe Burrow's getting good, too.
Joey
Cincinnati.
Boy.
So, man, Baker all of a sudden might be the bottom of the barrel as the quarterbacks in the North. But I want to go to another division, the AFC West, and really Pat Mahomes. Are you concerned with the turnovers? I know a couple of them have not been his fault, like Tyreek Hill last week. It comes off his hands and it's intercepted, and you know, they dominated yards wise. I think they had 270 yards in the first half and only 10 points, and that was because of the turnovers. Are we worried about this with Pat Mahomes? Is he trying to do too much, or should we just kind of just wait for him to fall into form like we're used to seeing him?
Well, I'd be terrified, you know, just because. And he's kind of the opposite of Baker. He has the talent to basically throw the ball from the locker room to the opposite end zone and still be accurate with it. But a lot of times, in my opinion, when I'm watching him play, he gets away from the fundamentally sound things for no reason.
Yeah.
And what's happened is, no matter how talented you are, there's a reason that you practice doing things the right way every day, because that gives you the best chance to succeed the most amount of times. And now what you see is, he's throwing the ball off platform with different arm angles when he doesn't have to, and the accuracy starting to not be as consistent. And they're turning into turnovers. And I don't care who you are. I mean, God could come back to earth and play quarterback, and you still shouldn't throw the interception that he threw before the half. You know, so there are some things that are happening there. And listen, Patrick Mahomes, don't get me wrong, he's not getting fired. He's not going anywhere. There's every team in the league would take him. But it has to be frustrating for Andy, because the unforced errors are not what elite players do. Elite players, and Tony Dungy always says this, do the little things in a phenomenal way all the time.
Yeah.
And then when they're called upon to do the phenomenal things, those few moments, they come through as well. And I think Patrick just has to really just put a speedometer on himself and just say, let me do the right thing the right way all the time, because he has the talent to do that.
Sean, I want to ask you about somebody. I don't know that I've ever heard you really talk about at length here, and it's kind of hard to really diagnose, you know, how he's improved and where he's improved, because what's around him is falling apart. That would be the Giants. Daniel Jones, what are you seeing on film from Jones?
You know, he's more athletic than people think. I just think that he's not a guy that's going to make average players above average. But he's a guy, if you put him in the perfect system, he's talented enough. He almost reminds me of a more athletic Kirk Cousins. You know,
okay.
He's going to do the right things, and he's not as productive as Kirk, but he hadn't played with the talent around him that Kirk had early in his career when he was in Washington and now what he has in Minnesota. But again, Daniel's going to battle a confidence issue. I mean, when you're on a bad team, and Tiki, I don't know if you ever were on a bad team. The Giants were actually pretty good.
Yeah, well, we had that one season right when Fossil got fired. We were 4-12, but that was the last one, and we were in kind of quarterback limbo. It was weird. It was a weird situation because Kerry was aging out a little bit. They wanted to replace him, but he didn't want to be replaced, so he's like, get me out of here. They drafted Eli. I mean, it was, yeah, but only one.
Right, and for a young quarterback, it's about confidence. And when has he ever really had a chance to have the organization, his teammates, and that fan base fully behind him?
Yeah, it's true.
It's almost like he's been behind the eight ball since the day he was drafted, and not necessarily or entirely all his fault. So I just think if he can persevere, you know, through this next year and a half, 2 years, and maintain his confidence, the talent is there. Now, putting it together and turning it into something that's productive from a winning standpoint, that's yet to be done. But you do see enough flashes where – if Sam Darnold can get a second chance, I definitely think Daniel Jones will deserve a second chance in a healthier environment to see what he can really do.
Yeah, no, the Giants have just turned into a team that's disappointing to say the least. You mentioned Sam, and Sam is frustrating, and you look at the situation down in Carolina with Christian McCaffrey. Without him, they just can't thrive. The interesting quarterback to me though is Dak Prescott. Because of his contract situation, the coming off the ankle injury, the injuries in training camp, he got thrown right back in. He's balling, and we kind of see him as being that guy. But he's now hurt his calf, and he's got this mindset. You could hear it as he was talking after the game, and I know you know what I'm talking about, Sean. He's like, I'll be back. Don't worry. I'll be ready. Is he putting himself and really the team's future in danger by pushing through something just because he wants to prove things?
Well, I just don't know if anybody knows exactly the severity of the injury but him and the training staff. And you got to understand, with Dak, even though their defense might be the worst ever last year, they were playing really good on offense, especially in the second halves of those games before Dak got injured. So he's sitting on the sideline, and now he's finally back, and he knows that the defense might be the most improved unit in all of the National Football League. From where they were last year on defense in Dallas to where they are now, I mean, it's remarkable. And they're running the ball as well and consistently as anybody. I mean, if you could really get past the fact that Mike McCarthy and his late game management issues are still on the sideline, you could make a legitimate case that Dallas is a legitimate NFC champion type team.
Mm-hmm.
And so for Dak, because they've struggled, there's got to be this desire to, I got to be a part of this. I can't be the reason that we don't reach our expectations. So I like that competitiveness. I guess we'll see. You know, Tiki, is he rushing back? But hopefully it's not anything severe, because Dallas has the right talent in the right places to really make a run.
Yeah, you can feel that. It feels that way right now.
All right, man. Hey, by the way, Sean, I meant to ask, we were talking about any golf hookups yet in Vegas for us? Where are you playing?
So I'm working on it. You know, I consider myself the Black Tiger Woods. So I'm swinging as hard as I've ever swung in my life.
Wow.
The results are improving. But again, I only try and shoot one shot lower than whoever I'm betting against that day.
You take money onto the course. Might have to get Sharp Tierney into a foursome with you. I hear he likes to put a couple scuttles. I got you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, we got to fund the hydration.
Hey, Sean, I appreciate you, man. Good luck with the new move. I know we'll be talking to you throughout, but Vegas is, you know, a lot of people, it's just the strip, which is awesome. There is a really nice lifestyle to be had out there in Nevada, so hopefully you're digging it and enjoying it, man.
And before I go, I always like to give a shout out to the fighting Urban Meyers and the Jacksonville Jaguars and getting off the snide. Great win for them. They had to go out of the country to do it, but it still counts.
Hey. It does. It does.
Yeah, he's got some financial interest over there. Shad Khan does.
Who?
Shad.
Who?
Shad Khan.
Shad Khan. Let me rock Shad Khan.
He's actually a great guy too. I met him when I was in Jacksonville. Yeah, they're good people too. I root for them. So hopefully Urban's figured it out, and because they got some great young players. If they can just hold it together and keep getting better, you never know what could happen next year.
That's why they hired him, to get it going in the right direction, man. Sean, thanks a lot, bud. We'll be talking soon. Thank you very much.
All right, fellas.
Be good, brother.
You got it. Sean King, former champion quarterback, Bucks and Tulane. Let's get the update. We're a little late. We'll come back, bang out the blast, give you a final thought on the NBA tonight, after Axe update, and the Dodgers with a much-needed early jolt as they try to get back in that series with the Braves. Axe is going to tell you what went down. Here he is. All right, TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. I want to tell you about Sunday's matchup, another slate on the NFL on CBS, doubleheader. Some nice early matchups, the Chiefs and the Titans, Bengals, Ravens, then later on the NFC bash and battle, clash. Any other word I can mangle and throw in there, I'm sure. Justin Fields, the rook, taking on the vet, the GOAT. Tom Brady and the Bucks. So you get a little Brady on CBS. All begins with the NFL today, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. All right. So Corey Seager hit a two-run bomb in the first. A crooked number early. And boy, oh boy, do they need that. Down 2-0, the Atlanta Braves. By the way, did you see, Teak, what was the number that I saw? I know that they set a record. The Red Sox have...
For Grand Slams?
No, that they definitely said with 3-2. But the Red Sox have 16 home runs in their last 6 postseason games.
Wow.
Which is a record. 16 in 6. I mean,
that's two.
It's almost 3 a game. Yeah. It's incredible. They're really.
They're about to upset the Astros, man. Up 2-1.
They're looking pretty good.
Looking very confident in what they're doing.
Yeah. Did you see when Correa tapped out? The pitcher was tapping.
Yeah.
Was, for those who missed it, when Correa hit a home run early in this, I guess that would have been game one, right? Game one.
Yeah, game one.
Hit that bomb, and he pointed to his wrist as he was going around the bases, and he said, "What time is it?" He says, "It's my time. It's my time." And he's pointing to his wrist. He was really, really emphatic about it, which I had no issue with that, but... No, last night he tapped out. He struck out in the early, and he tapped out late, and the pitcher just did the same thing. And Cora was yelling from, like, "Hey, we don't do that."
Yeah.
And then when the pitcher walked off, Cora gave him a big squeeze, like, "Hey, I love the competitive fiber, but we don't play that game. Just keep getting outs.
Yeah, do your
Red
job.
Sox are focused.
Yeah, don't if you need that kind of excitement, then you're not focused on the right things. Our focus should be on winning baseball games, period, and going on to the next round. That's what he said. Cora's a great manager. Man.
I don't like him because he's a Red Sox, but objectively speaking, he's a terrific manager. And Schwarber, you got to love it. I mean, that was a 3-0 pitch he went and got. That home run that Schwarber hit, that was a 3-0 fastball that he went out and he unloaded. He just, banged it, not quite Pesky's pesky pole, because it was a little bit to the right of that if you're actually sitting at the pole. It wasn't quite at the pole. It was maybe 15 feet and obviously deeper in. But I love the aggression, and the Red Sox look like a team that could win it, but we shall see.
It's crazy when you think about his journey, right? 2018, wins the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
This whole Astros nonsense gets him caught up. He gets... fired, put that in quotes. It was more like, just take a break, we'll bring it back type of thing.
Yeah.
Now he's back and they're about to get back in the World Series.
I know. I mean, AJ Hinch doesn't have a job yet.
No.
And I think he's a very, we had him on early.
Yeah.
And then he kind of tried to big time us a little bit there. And, he got his comeuppance. No, I'm just kidding. But he did. I think AJ Hinch is a great manager.
Yeah.
The Mets are trying to figure out what the heck they should do. They should call Hinch.
Hinch is with the... he's with the Tigers.
No, but I'm saying is, what am I saying? What am I saying? I knew that didn't sound right.
Yeah.
As I'm saying that, I'm like, no, I'm missing something there.
But he just, when did he get that job?
You're right. And the Tigers had a good year, by the way.
That's right.
I mean, good year by the standards that they were supposed to be held to. Tigers were supposed to be a doormat.
That's right.
Like, what did they, I'm not saying they had I don't even think they won 80 games. But they were like 70 what? What was the Tigers' record? I mean, the Tigers were projected to lose 110 games.
Yeah, 74-88.
That is a pretty competitive, and they had a stretch there, maybe in July, one of those summer months where they were playing really good baseball. So, yeah, the Mets could call Hinch, but he's obviously with the Tigers. All right, let's get to the Blast.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long, or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, number one. So with the Pats cut Cam Newton, there's a lot of speculation that it was in large part due to him being unvaccinated. So Cam appeared on his YouTube channel and gave an update on his status.
Recently, just to clear the air, I got the vaccination. Hell yeah, I want to still play football. I still get that urge to, go out and perform and do something that I've been doing since I was 7 years old. But also, it's like, bro, I'm so much more than a football player, dog. Like, respect me as such. But long story short, man, I'm just waiting on the right opportunity. You're probably asking yourself, don't nobody want Cam. That's a lie. I've been getting offers.
Interesting. I've been getting offers. Mm. Okay. Reports now say the Seahawks reached out after Russ went down. How do we feel about Cam's chances of being signed before the end of the season here, T?
Well, I think if injuries are going to pile up for some teams and they're on the cusp of being winning and they don't have a backup that they have faith in, I think it's high, right? Like, he could
like
sign
the Steelers?
Some team like that. The Seahawks actually make a ton of sense because before Geno Smith acquitted himself pretty well in Russell Wilson's stead, that made all the sense in the world. So I think he'll sign somewhere if quarterbacks get hurt. Now, the problem is, not the problem, but the issue for Cam is that quarterbacks rarely get hurt in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like maybe 2 or 3 opportunities that may arise.
Well, I mean, how many more times can Baker hit the deck with that shoulder?
True.
I mean, he's going to keep grinding through it.
Or how about Dallas?
Right? The calf strain, the MRI, right? Calf strain for Dak. They have a bye, so that's well timed. But, if there's a little issue there,
mm-hmm.
You just wonder, like, well, why didn't you get the vaccine 2 months ago, man? I mean, you went and you got it now. You probably cost yourself a chance of employment.
Yeah,
that's true. All right, the Cavs and guard Colin Sexton failed to come to an agreement on a rookie contract extension before the deadline, like Ayton, making Sexton a restricted free agent this offseason. So what is the ceiling for Sexton? Where would he fit best? Now, first of all, I like Colin Sexton.
Mm-hmm.
I know that somebody's got to score on a bad team. I get it, and they were horrendous last year. Darius Garland, they went guard, which was odd.
Very.
So it doesn't seem like it's the best situation there. I think that he's a little immature. I think he's highly competitive. I think he's very efficient for a young guard. Usually that efficiency is the last thing to come. I remember tweeting about there was rumors the Knicks were kicking the tires on this a while ago, and I was all for it. Like, to me, Colin said maybe Kemba helps out more this year. But bigger picture, Colin may have been probably the better end. I like Colin Sexton. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I think he could be a 2- or 3-time All-Star.
Yeah.
Like him.
Is he you know, one of the top players in the NBA at some point? Probably not, but I do think he can be a good contributor, BT, like you mentioned. But to me, he's a second on some other great team.
Yep.
It's not going to be Cleveland, obviously, because I don't know when they're going to get it together. But if he should find himself somewhere else, say second fiddle to, trying to think of who it would be, like Joel Embiid or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Philadelphia. That'd be really an interesting spot for him, because I think he could thrive not having a spotlight on him.
Let me just give you a couple numbers. I don't know if people realize, because they were really bad and have been. He's 39% from 3-point range for his career.
Yeah.
In almost 200 games, okay? He's 83% from the free throw line.
Yep.
And he averaged 24 points a game last year.
That's right.
24.
Yeah, which is quietly.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. Padres star Fernando Tatis plagued this past season by a left shoulder injury, which caused him to miss a little time on two separate occasions. Despite speculation he would go on to the ninth this offseason, Tatis has reportedly decided not to have surgery and will instead try to strengthen the shoulder. What are our thoughts on Tatis bypassing the knife?
Sorry, I didn't hear the question. Ian, Michael Rappaport was outside the door just a second ago, and I didn't see him. Tatis rehabilitating his shoulder.
I saw him too. He's a big dude. Yeah, I think he was like, hey, maybe they'll call it. No, we're not going to call you. Our show's almost over, big man.
We got 3 seconds left here. I think this is a mistake by Tatis, BT. We talked about this in the middle of the season last year, how they might have considered and probably would have been prudent, especially when things got off the rails a little bit, to shut him down, have the surgery so that he could be ready for the start of next season. I get why he's not doing it, because he doesn't want to miss some of these prime years, but this is going to keep being an issue, man.
Yep.
And if it starts to blexing, coming out of the joint, just like swinging like he did the first time, he's going to have it anyways. I think this is bad.
Mistake, yeah. I mean, rectify it early so you could just continue, hopefully uninterrupted, with your career. You have to, unfortunately, have real fear that this happens again next year.
Yeah.
I would have had surgery if I'm him.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
You think Dak's going to be okay? Like, is that something to worry about? I mean, when you go for an MRI, it's got to be a little bit more than just, I kind of pulled my calf a little
bit. Yeah, we're watching NFL Network in here, and you see him limping off the field.
Yeah.
In the tunnel. I mean, that's not just like I got a little thing here. Like, he's like limping and hopping, because he doesn't want to put any weight on it. I hope it's okay. He's got 2 weeks. But, I mean, I hate that for Dak, and I hate it for Dallas.
So do I.
That sucks.
Who's there? Cooper Rush? Who's even the backup?
Cooper Rush.
It is a Cooper Rush?
Yeah.
Probably better off having Cooper Kupp play quarterback. or Brandon Rush, the former NBA player. Or Rush the band.
Oh, I love it.
Little moving pictures. Tink, enjoy the hoops tonight.
Thank you, brother.
We got it back.
As well.
Thanks,
I know,
man.
Right?
Love it.
Only 2 games, but hey.
I like that. I like to enter this
slowly.
Yes. Give me 2 games and then give me it all tomorrow. Have a great night. Safe, sensible, sane. Later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.